Paul Gallant Show. It is Tuesday, July 15th, 2025. I'm Paul Gallant, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You heard Voice Guy himself say it. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975, and also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app. No Sean today, back at Mission Control, AJ Russ sitting in for him, and I am still doing the show from home as I try to get back from strep throat. Tonsils slightly smaller, still pretty gross, still pretty huge, still pretty painful to talk. I heard that the Angry Bees talked a little trash at the beginning of their show about me because it wasn't feeling so good dipping out for the last hour. I think Jeremy had posted something in the chat. What did it read? What did it say? Because there's no way in hell I would listen to a show of two people who hate each other. But, oh, here it is. I may take the last hour of the show off, say I got a tickle in the throat. I did think that was interesting coming from the head of a show that once showed up 45 minutes late because they were busy golfing. Really find that interesting. And I can only imagine what that round of golf with Jeremy and Joel was like, given the two love each other. Honestly, their listeners missed out because the frustration of both of those two shooting 130 or so would probably be, I would imagine, a whole lot more entertaining than bitching and moaning about lineups. So they talked a little trash, called me soft. Okay, yeah, I went home early. I was advised to. Would have stuck it out like I did for a couple of shows in March where I was dealing with a horrible bronchitis, which caused me to have to turn off the microphone and cough and cough and, you know, some blood from time to time. No big deal. Every single break and every single segment, because I am doing a show by myself. But yeah, I did leave yesterday's show early. And you know what? Considering what Jeremy's left, how many shows early to go cover a Cougars baseball team that hasn't done anything of value since 2018. Very interesting. Anyway, that was very therapeutic to get that off of my chest because truly that pissed me off yesterday, calling me out for being soft because I went home early when I'm trying my best to do this show. I didn't like that. Jeremy, the softest thing is the FUPA that is resting over your belt. Okay, the All-Star break is upon us. How about the Home Run Derby last night? That was fun, right? If you could actually keep tracks, if you could keep track of it, could you? I couldn't. I had no idea what the hell was going on. This is one of these things where baseball, I look at them and I wonder if they're ever going to figure it out. And it's very clear that they have not listened to anyone over the last couple of years who have been telling them that they need to fix some things. I put on the Home Run Derby on the small TV because, yeah, I'm taking a break from baseball when I can. But I did have it on, and I noticed that the broadcast did this thing where, as they have the last couple of years, they do a split screen. On one side of the screen, you see a pitcher behind a backstop and a hitter. So when he makes contact with the ball, it just stays on him because now baseball's Home Run Derby has a clock. And on the other camera, it'll show balls mid-flight going to whatever part of the park they might, whether it's out of the park or caught by those many children who are out there with gloves. And it's so difficult to keep track of it. Like, I personally can't. And I don't know how many other people had the same problem, but you keep on having a ball get caught mid-flight, and you're like, wait, what? Oh, another ball mid-flight. another ball mid. What is going on here? And you don't even get to appreciate the majesty of some of these smokes that these guys are blasting into outer space. Home runs are cool. I'm not the biggest baseball fan, but the home run derby used to be pretty damn cool. And I don't know if this is something that they did because of time or what, but moving to this idea that we're going to throw as many pitches to you as possible over whatever the time limit now is, I think really just diminishes every single home run that's hit. And you know it's bad when you're having this conversation with friends about the broadcast and you're wondering, wait a second, what? What's going on here? Huh? And they're telling you, hey man, you should go watch the ESPN StatCat broadcast of the Home Run Derby. The StatCast broadcast. Watch that. And honestly, I should have. My friend Kevin Brown was on the call for that, so would have made it a little bit better. But I was too engrossed with Severance, which I am now watching on the big screen, with the Home Run Derby in the background. Too much is going on in that. And it's a shame because Cal Raleigh did something very cool. He won a Home Run Derby as a catcher. He's already off to an incredible start this season when it comes to home runs. I mean, this is a guy who's a catcher. He's basically, you know, crouching, squatting for an entire game, and he still has the ability to get into the box and hit 38 home runs to this point this year. So he's leading the league in home runs. He wins the Home Run Derby. He's doing things for the Seattle Mariners that, let's be honest, just doesn't happen that often for him, you know? I mean, this is a Mariners team that has at the very least won a few home run derbies. Ken Griffey Jr. won the home run derby in 94, 98, and 1999. And I imagine they might raise a banner for this, given that they've only made the playoffs 95, 97, 2000, 2001, and 2022. No World Series, no pennants. It would be nice if a moment like this for Cal Raleigh could have been, I don't know, recognized a little bit more. But the broadcast that ESPN puts out there in what is, I imagine, their last year focusing on baseball at all, given they just had a breakup, I thought it was pathetic. And even worse, I mean, listen, I enjoy Pat McAfee, but why does Pat McAfee have to be everywhere? Because that's when I decided, oh yeah, I can't have this on the big TV. They had this cool montage showing all of the biggest home runs in baseball's history. And I thought, man, this is actually pretty nice to get things started. But then, after that montage was done, you saw Pat McAfee just go out and into the middle of Turner Field 2.0 and basically doing some sort of wrestling hype, which he does. It just bummed me out. I used to very much enjoy the All-Star break. I loved the Home Run Derby. I liked the actual game itself, even when it didn't count. And maybe this is me just getting older, not being able to appreciate sports the same way I did when I wasn't covering them, when I was just watching them as a fan. But it's also that baseball is really struggling to modernize. And some of the ways they're trying to modernize, I just think, fall flat. Last night's Home Run Derby is a perfect example of it. It's been a couple of years of this. And I think a lot of people think the same thing as me. I guess the numbers are still good. And I guess that being able to broadcast this on a variety of different broadcasts makes them feel like, well, listeners and watchers have options here, but bums me out. Really does. Home runs are great. The Home Run Derby should be great. I mean, think about all the other sports out there. There are a few things as satisfying as a home run. You have stop and action. A guy trots around the bases. Maybe he flipped the bat a little bit before, doing a little jig around. Outside of that, what do you have? You have three-pointers, but generally those can only be really appreciated if a timeout is called by the other team right after it's hit. Three-point competition, it's so rapid. Bam, 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 bam. You also don't really feel like there's the same stakes there, too, if you've got like a big bucket next to you with a bunch of basketballs that you're shooting. And there's really nothing on the NFL side of things that compares to what a home run can be. So the home run derby should be great. And I just feel like the broadcast screwed it up. If you were there in person, I bet it was fun. And it was rapid and fast-paced with, you know, very little pause in between swings, clearly as seen on the broadcast, where you're just catching balls mid-flight over and over and over and over again. But I think Mr. Brostash on the Twitch said it best. Home run derby's a lot like the slam dunk competition. Went from a must-see event to not even worth watching anymore. And I hate saying that about sports. Like I hate that we're there. Yeah, I really hate that. We've gotten to a point where we are saying a lot of the things that we've watched are worse than they used to be. And this might just be, for all of us, a byproduct of getting old and yelling at clouds and all that stuff. But something like this, how do you screw it up like that so badly? And why did you screw it up the way that you did? Were people really having a tough time watching the home run derby the first way it was set up? I don't understand why they've stayed away from it as long as they have. It's the one all-star break that people actually give a bleep about, given that the NBA doesn't try anymore and the NFL doesn't even play the game anymore. NHL, hey, it caught our attention for a year because there were fights between the U.S. and Canada, and there's heightened tensions between the U.S. and Canada. But I don't know if it's going to be holding us next year. This is the one time that baseball has to separate itself during a period in the sports calendar where it has zero competition, unless you count the WNBA. And I feel like last night's broadcast is a reflection of the failure of leadership that Rod Manfred's been. I think this is a pretty easy fix. Just go back to the way that it used to be. 10 pitches, right? You get 10 pitches or 10 outs, I think it was. And yeah, it might have taken a lot of time and there might have been a lot of taken pitches along the way. But it's just too ADD and too all over the place the way that it is right now. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975, also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app. AJ Russ is in for Sean behind the glass. Coming up next, ESPN put together a top 10 rankings of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and CJ Stroud didn't make the list. Some of the people who did should have you annoyed by about that. We'll talk about it on the other side. Stay put. The Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, and on Twitch at ESPN 975. So, a couple of comments here in response to our last segment talking about All-Star games. NHL isn't even doing the Four Nations face-off next year because they're idiots. That is pretty crazy. Also, just put Russia in. I get it. They're in a war with Ukraine, but put them in. One of the best teams in the world when it comes to hockey, right? U.S.-Russia is always fun when it comes to hockey. Or when it comes to anything. From the 936, timer has ruined the home run derby. We can't bask in the majestic home runs. Yeah, and maybe add Chris Berman back. Back. I don't mind that. I like Chris Berman. Chris Berman can do no wrong on my part. Big fan of that guy. Best part of ESPN. So you want to weigh in on the home run derby last night? You can. You know how to do it. Whenever we see somebody call out the Texans, question the Texans, we give you the opportunity to determine whether or not this is a battle red pill with a little bit of truth attached to it that has you wondering if all of your notions of the team that plays on Kirby are wrong. It's time for a little deep. Wix, check that. It's our battle red pill time.
Heretics dare to question the Houston Texans' greatness.
How dare you?
Is it bullshit?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Or will you take this battle red pill?
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud did not make ESPN's list of top 10 quarterbacks put together by execs and scouts across the league. Here is the list. 1, Mahomes. 2, Josh Allen. 3, Joe Burrow. 4, Lamar Jackson. I'm going to pause for a moment. Issues with the list. Based off of last year, Burrow, Allen, and Jackson should be above Mahomes. I know that there was a back and forth as far as the MVP conversation between Allen and Jackson. I felt like Burrow got overlooked in it entirely. Burrow had his best statistical season last year, and yes, he does have two awesome wide receivers, but he was throwing to a tight end who was on the way out. He has a defense not helping him out as well. I think those three are ahead of Mahomes right now. Obviously, Mahomes is still Mahomes. It just really goes to show you how good the quarterbacks are at the top of the league these days. It just takes one down year for people to pass you by. Number 5, Jaden Daniels. Okay, I can buy Jaden Daniels on the list, but not ahead of a guy who has not been listed yet. 6, Matt Stafford. 7, Justin Herbert. 8, Jared Goff. Okay. 9, Jalen Hurts. 10, Baker Mayfield. C.J. Stroud was honorable mention and seemingly the first guy left out of the top 10. I can't buy Jaden Daniels being ahead of Jalen Hurts. I just can't. I know that Jaden Daniels had an awesome rookie season. I still like Hurts better as a quarterback. Hurts in the playoffs when they take the, I guess, tarp off the car. He's awesome. During the regular season, you can tell that he's perhaps not going 100%. He will slide a lot more often than he needs to while running. You see Hurts in the playoffs, though, and I mean, take a look at the Super Bowl that he lost against Patrick Mahomes. He played a perfect game outside of the fumble that he had that was returned for a touchdown. Look, Stroud had a down year last year, and he certainly had a lot of excuses for him. The offensive line, the offensive coordinator, the injuries to all three of his top receivers who missed prolonged periods. Nico Collins had the hamstring issues that cost him a few games. Stephon Diggs tore his ACL halfway through the year. Tank Dell missed all those games at the end. But they are excuses. It was, I thought, a step back of a season for Stroud, and I know a lot of people get mad about the idea it was a sophomore slump, but relative to expectations, it was. He was, by this very same rankings, ranked 7th after his rookie season. All of that said, are you really putting Justin Herbert ahead of C.J. Stroud? How many times are we going to put Justin Herbert on a pedestal that he has not earned himself a place on yet? He hasn't. He makes a lot of flashy, beautiful plays. Guess what? Every quarterback, and I mean every quarterback in the NFL, is capable of putting together splashy, highlight caliber plays. They're the best football throwers in the world, quarterbacks in the National Football League. You make it to the NFL, you're damn good, even if people might say you suck and call you a bust. You've made it to that level, you're pretty damn good. Maybe not NFL good, but you're pretty damn good. Herbert has a lot of splash moments. Wow moments. And there's certainly talent there. I can't believe, though, that Herbert is put ahead of C.J. Stroud. It's like this hipster choice that's constantly made of Justin Herbert, and I, for one, am tired of it. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions in that Texans-Lions game on Sunday night. And yes, C.J. Stroud threw an awful interception in the end zone to an open Tank Dell. He underthrew it. it got picked off, and that's one of the reasons that the Lions went on to win that game. But Stroud's more athletic, Stroud's more accurate, and Stroud hasn't had the kind of pee pants moments that we've seen from Goff on the biggest stage. I'm talking about Goff's Super Bowl performance against the New England Patriots all those years ago. 3 points in the Sean McVay offense? Really? That's it? Sorry, I'll never be able to put Goff at the top. Is Goff a quarterback I would have taken when the Texans were playing poorly? Sure. Stroud's better than Goff right now. This is pretty obvious to me if you have eyes. And Baker Mayfield is fun. He's not better than Stroud. He's not. What he's done with Tampa Bay is great. Cleveland never should have gotten rid of him. But come on. We're putting him ahead of C.J. Stroud. And the athleticism and his accuracy. That to me is wild. I do wonder if Stroud would have been above Goff on this list if the Texans had won that Sunday Night Football game. I think for some who have been watching that Netflix show, Quarterback, which I'm going to get into at some point, they've pointed out that rewatching the Texans' loss to the Lions in Sunday Night Football was an absolutely brutal experience. Yeah, it would be. It absolutely would be. I'm not going to go do that again. Hell no. No, sir. It's tough enough watching that thing in person and then getting out of NRG Stadium late. I was one of the last people to leave. I think I had to ask somebody to unlock the parking lot so that they would let my car out. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It is the Paul Gallant Show, and that is a battle red pill. Do you agree with C.J. Stroud being left off of that top 10 quarterback ranking? 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 936, Jaden Daniels should not be on the top list. Not top five. I'd hear an argument for him being better than Stroud just based off the fact they made it to an NFC Championship game his rookie year. But yeah, top five is too much for me. 409, Jalen Hurts has never had one statistically good season. Well, hang on. What about 2022? He was the MVP runner-up. You can't put Burrow so high and notice stats, but say Hurts stats don't matter. Did I say Hurts stats don't matter? Honestly, this is where I need a transcriber, because I do not remember saying that his stats don't matter. I feel like I would put Hurts above several of the guys listed there. I think Hurts is probably five. He's got to be ahead of Jaden Daniels. Mahomes takes a step back, and I would say Mahomes' stats are the reason that I would give Burrow, Allen, and Jackson the edge right now. What else do we have here? On the 832, people are overlooking Daniels will have 13 plays called back in key situations due to false starts. That's right. The Commanders have Laremy Tunsil, who once again isn't at offseason exercises. You know who else took issue with this rankings? Here is former quarterback Dan Orlovsky taking this top 10 list to task because C.J. Stroud wasn't on it.
We're coming to you, Dan. Biggest issue with this list?
My biggest issue with the list, two. One, C.J. Stroud not being on the list is, I think, silly, dumb, idiotic. Okay. The people that said after C.J. Stroud's rookie year, best rookie season we've ever had. And in that year of 2023, he was like 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, like 63% completion percentage. So numbers-wise, pretty darn good. Last year, with bottom five offensive line, he lost his number one, number two, and number three receiver for significant stretches. 63% completion percentage, 3,800 yards, and I think he had 20 touchdowns. Now 12 interceptions. Interceptions went up. So disaster all around him. By the way, offensive coordinator never evolved. Disaster around him and puts up somewhat similar performance-wise. Yeah. So the guy that people were saying, like, hey, he's the next Joe Burrow, top five player, all of a sudden is out of the top 10. That, for me, is probably the biggest gripe. We can make the conversation, Jalen Hurts, higher than a Justin Herbert. Okay. But C.J. Stroud not being in there is the biggest issue.
Yeah, I was surprised by this. He should be in over Mayfield for sure. And I think he has an argument over both Justin Herbert and Jared Goff. I know that the Twitch will be like, Goff's better than Stroud. He threw five interceptions in a game. Sorry, no. Nope. one of the reasons I can't respect Trevor Lawrence either. He threw four interceptions in one quarter of a game. People don't forget. Oh, they won the game. Yeah, because they were playing Justin Herbert, who's ranked ahead of C.J. Stroud. Wow. Interesting. It's a funny part. You know, everyone gave Trevor Lawrence so much credit for that comeback. No one talked about how Joe Burrow and the Chargers did jack diddly poo the rest of that game, that they choked away, as Chargers often do. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Up next, everything you might have missed in the world of sports, in case you missed it, everything you missed over the weekend. Stick around. The Paul Gallant Show with AJ Russin for Sean Mapes behind the glass. Stay put.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it,
everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports. Not that much going on, but did you see? Jeff Luno was on the Crush City podcast, and he said two or three Major League Baseball owners have called to gauge his interest. He said, "I don't think I'm blackballed from baseball like some people think. I know I would do a good job. I know that for a fact. But the reality is I've moved on." End quote. I'm very curious about what two of those teams were the ones that reached out to him. Who could it be? Wouldn't it be so delicious if it were either the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers? I'm skeptical that it would be the Dodgers, but the Yankees, maybe. I mean, Brian Cashman's had that job for a very long time, so clearly they need someone that they think is of a higher shelf to replace Cashman, so maybe that would have been him. Also on the Crush City podcast, Luno had this to say. He wouldn't have done... There it is. He said that he wouldn't have done the Roberto Osuna trade, and that he nearly traded Jose Altuve, and that this was the trade for Bryce Harper that ended up getting vetoed by Nationals management at the last moment. It would have been Harper for J.B. Bukauskas, Josh James, Abraham Torrey, Randy Caesar, and Kent Emmanuel. Yeah, I can see why Nationals ownership stepped in. That's a trade rape. That is an absolute massacre right there. Jeff Bagwell was on the Astros broadcast Saturday and Sunday. That's fun. I saw J-Bone say that at some point Bagwell threw strays at Biggio. Honestly, I'm not going to go do my research to determine whether or not that happened. I'm just going to hold J-Bone, the bastion of journalism, to that. So there you go, everybody. In Wimbledon, ooh, that's a tennis thing. Jannik Sinner beat Carlos Alcaraz to win Wimbledon. I guess Jannik, last name Sinner, is actually a challenge when it comes to majors. So Carlos Alcaraz has 5 and Jannik Sinner has 4. So we got a Federer / Nadal / that other guy, Djokovic, thing going on in tennis. There's a new generation. Tennis, it's a sport. And there you go. In case you missed it, continues. Did you see it? Did you see the World Cup? Oh, yeah, I love the World Cup. Champions Club, Cup of World Champions Club. Yeah. There's a team called Chills, and they beat Pisgah 3-0 to win the 2025 Club World Cup Club Championship Club Cup. Afterwards, and this is the real controversy from this really important tournament, but Donald Trump, whoa, he's the president. He stole the show because he stayed on stage. We'll just see players were up there because they won the Club Cup, World Cup Championship Cup. And while the Chelsea players rose the trophy, Trump stayed up on the stage. So there's lots of controversy about that. FIFA president Gianni Infantino was very upset about this and tried to make Trump stand in the background. And it didn't work out. So there you go. Congratulations to Chachachos for beating Pisgah to win the 2025 Cup World Championship Cup Club Cup. I love soccer. Hey, labor, it's a thing. You know, you got sports owners, and they're paying players to do labor for them. And sometimes they call it slavery, even though they're getting paid millions of dollars. And it's kind of true, except for the millions of dollars things. But guess what? We could be in for a big stoppage, guys, in the sports world. The WNBA Players Union and league officials are at an impasse. And I'm not even kidding. This is a real quote that was said. Things are expected to get spicy. Gotta say, kind of demeaning to women? No? Aren't you kind of implying this is about to be a cat fight? Meow. That's not cool. ESPN.com. Mothership, oh mothership. Why did thou write this, mothership, oh mothership? Phoenix Mercury forward and union rep Satu Sabali said, "We got a proposal from the league, which was honestly a slap in the face." Interesting. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, in case you are nervous about this WNBA stoppage, had this to say, "We'll get something done, and it'll be transformational. These things take time. We want to have a fair deal for all, but it has to be within the confines of a sustainable economic model that goes on for 10 years. We've had a few years of great growth, but we need to continue to make sure that we can fund the things that the players are asking for, that we want for them too." So there you go. There might be a walkout. Spicy! Pour one out. If you thought you had a chance with Megan Thee Stallion, guess what? You're a stupid idiot. You're a dumb, stupid, horny idiot. You never had a chance. Klay Thompson is now dating Megan Thee Stallion. Gotta say, if you're a Rockets fan, this has gotta hurt, right? We're talking about one of Houston's own, and she is now in the eyes of some, unless they don't believe in this, unless they're going Tyler Lockett. It seems that on the off chance that they do believe in premarital sex, it does seem that she is sleeping with the enemy. I'm just saying, the Warriors just took the Rockets out in the playoffs, and I know he doesn't play for them anymore, but Klay Thompson is always a Warrior in my book, and you just hate to see this. So Megan Thee Stallion now dating Klay Thompson, everybody. She's not dating you, so go home and think about what you're doing wrong with your life. You know? Think about it, you stupid, horny idiot. You know, if only you could hit all of those three-point shots, which Klay Thompson does. But you didn't, and you're an idiot because of that. Anyway, she's a strong, powerful, independent woman, and we do respect her decision. So there you go. That's in case you missed it, everybody. That's everything you might have missed over the weekend in this wacky world of sports. Let's read some comments here. A bunch of people were asking, is this a Rick and Morty bit? I don't know. I did sound a lot stupider in that segment than I normally do. Maybe I should. Should I keep doing it that way? Just read the headlines, but sound like a complete idiot the whole time? From the 832, Paul, are you taking Grandpa's old cough medicine? If only. That would be nice. From the 713, if there was a WNBA lockout, they might actually make some money finally. Hey! That's not cool. Not at all. It's the Paul Gallant Show. That's everything you might have missed over the weekend in sports. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Speaking of the soccer, the Club Cup, Club Championship, Club Cup, this guy might have been in it, and he had himself quite the birthday party. You'll hear about it on the other side. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call in, text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. These commercial breaks are fun. Here's the routine. So I leave the home studio I have confined myself to because I don't want to get anyone else sick. Went to the grocery store yesterday because I had no food with a mask on. That was terrible. Terrible experience. Walking all the way from a parking lot with an M95 on into a grocery store, not fun. Also, I felt judged because I was one of the people that was still wearing a mask, not only outside, but in a post-pandemic world. I felt very judged. So I'm walking through the grocery store, and like I got all the things that I can eat because I can't eat anything solid right now. So I got a bunch of chicken noodle soup, I got applesauce, and I got sorbet because it's nice and icy and cold. But during these commercial breaks, what I'm doing is I'm going into a bathroom in my condo. I have two, yeah. And I do a little saltwater gargle. And then I put some hot water in a teacup with honey, and then I sip on that. And it's real fun. It's real fun dealing with this. it's really fun. The worst part is, see, if there was a co-host or something like that, I could talk, they could listen, I could turn off my microphone and do a bunch of disgusting stuff to the side, and I'd probably be kind of okay. The problem is when you're filling 10 minutes of time, generally by minute 7 or 8, your throat is telling you, you're a stupid a-hole. Please stop. Please stop. Please stop. So I have to stay in this very monotone range, and I can't even be my true authentic self. So it sucks. And I'm still mad at the Angry Bees. Check that. It's not that. It's the Brian McDonald interrupting the Bees show. I was mad that they were talking trash about me yesterday. I think they called me soft. Might have called me a bitch. I'm pretty mad about that. Should I be? Probably not, honestly. But, yeah, I'm a little mad about it. Like, calling out my toughness. I mean, I tried to do the show. And I was told towards the end, hey, if you really don't think you can step to the side. And it seemed like the decision was made for me, which I'm very appreciative of. So I was appreciative that Joe and Jeremy had stepped in. Didn't expect to be the entirety of the Brian McDonald show featuring two Bees. I didn't expect to be the main topic. I think they led off talking about me. But hey, you know what? Like, I'm thinking about the best interest of the station, and I know a lot of people have stopped listening to sports talk radio altogether every single time they talk about the lineups of Joe Espada for a team that's what? Oh, leading the American League West by 5 games. So I know that talking about me was probably an upgrade in programming. Anyway, how many shots will I take the rest of the show? I don't know. Probably not enough, because I thought that was a load of bull. Can't swear on the air, though, Paul. You can't. Anyway, birthday parties. They're a thing. Anyone heard of Spanish soccer star? I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this. This time, it wasn't like I was effing around in the last segment. Lamine Yamal. Sounded nice and American, huh? Lamine Yamal. He plays for Barcelona. He had a massive 18th birthday party. Wait, they're letting children illegally play soccer in Europe? And apparently he's one of the best players there is, this guy. So here are two details that came out about his 18th birthday party. Number one, he hired 25 dwarves. Yes. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. He picked up where Disney left a bunch of people jobless and hired 25 dwarfs to come to his party, which is apparently a thing for European soccer players. I don't know if this is some homage to the movie The Wolf of Wall Street or something else, but that's part one of his birthday party, which seemed to be taking place in the woods. Were they reenacting Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? I don't know. Also, a woman who was invited to this party, but I guess turned him down, might have been a lady of the night. She went on the news and said she was offered $15,000 to $20,000 to go, and that there was a requirement for women who were invited. Women, perhaps, of a certain line. Respect their stories. The only requirement was she had to be of a certain breast size. So I'm guessing it had to be bigger than a specific breast size. Very curious. Never been much of a boob guy. Not to say I don't like boobs. Boobs are fun. But boobs are also something I look at and I wonder, how will these look in the future? Is that a weird thing to think about? It probably is. Now, a message a family member taught me, and I'm actually not kidding on this one. When we talk about something that he calls bolt-ons, if they don't fall off in the shower, they're real. Okay, fair point. But there's, to me, I'm very curious. Like, are we talking, I'm assuming, what, C cup or above? Again, I don't know. I think the people that know measurement sizes are kind of weird. Just a little bit. Oh, did you see her measurements? They're like 44, 22, 6, 5, whatever. I don't know. I find some very, it's very old people posting on Instagram and like in the comment section, like, oh, babe, what are your measurements? So sexy, baby. Oh, yeah, look at you. So I'm wondering what the limit was. I would assume C, but I gotta say, like, butts are better than boobs. Like, I feel like this is a very, very obvious thing, and maybe it's as a sportsman, you know, I appreciate a woman that looks like she could play sports, but that's what I'm all about. That's what I'm all about. Shout out to my girlfriend's great ass. That's what I'm all about. Okay. Anyway, I sound enough like a horn dog. I sound worse than Spanish soccer star Lamine Yamal, who hired 25 dwarves for his birthday. And on top of that, hired women, but they had to be of a certain breast size. I mean, that's a great way to throw an 18th birthday party. I'm guessing all of these soccer players in Europe, with the amount of, with the stupid amounts of money that they are making at a very young age, have got to be into the most depraved stuff. I mean, because he knew that people would find out about the hiring of the 25 dwarves, you would think, right? Or his PR team had to have known. And it's funny, when, like, as these dwarves, these poor dwarves are walking into the party, which seemed to be in the woods or something like that. Like, there's a bunch of Spanish paparazzi that are trying to interview them, and they're just throwing their hands up. They're like, hey, man, it's a paycheck. It's a paycheck. Let me collect my paycheck. I couldn't work on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs because Peter Dinklage complained about it, about how it's demeaning to dwarves. Which it's like, hey, man, Peter Dinklage, you're the one that's getting all the dwarves jobs these days. So, I don't know. Are you mad there's going to be another one that, like, really crushes it in that role, and all of a sudden he's going to be coming for you? Maybe you don't have that eye of the tiger anymore as the world's foremost dwarf actor. What was that all about? It was very strange. Very, very strange. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. So, you know how to get aboard if you want. Would you have done this kind of birthday party? Well, you're depraved if you did. But hey, you know, I guess when we were all 18 once. What else do we have here on the text line? From the 281. I know you enjoyed wearing the mask. Your Boston roots came back out. Next time, just get your groceries delivered. I feel bad making people deliver the groceries. I do feel bad about that. You know? Plus, I live so close to a grocery store. It's very weird, though. Like, oh, your Boston roots came back out. I've lived in the South for most of my life. And a lot of people, it's weird. There's a lot of people who seem to think I lean one way politically when I've actually done the exact opposites version of talk radio several times, might I add, but that's neither here nor there. No one cares about any of this stuff. Someone actually gave me the pronunciation. Thank you, from the 832. First name is Yamin. Last name sounds like Jamal. Okay, so it's Yamin Jamal, but his first name starts with an L? Huh. Interesting. Duolingo. What a fun time. What a fun time. I stopped. I have nightmares that Duolingo is going to stab me to death in my sleep. The app on my phone, like, it just gets bigger and bigger. Paul, no one cares. Fine. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 975-925-713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. You want to jump in, you know how to do it. If you want to talk about the Home Run Derby and what a disappointing broadcast it was, you can. I don't want to, you know, beat this to death over the course of today's show. But speaking of the depraved, I found a very interesting quote from one of the greatest quarterbacks in the drivable distance of Houston that we've seen in the last 20 years. What a woulda, shoulda from this guy. Who am I talking about? You'll find out next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay